chapter 14. This has been sort of our theme verse from last week to this week till next. The title of my message this morning is Peace in the Chaos of Christmas. You know, we can have stress and all these other things, but I want to talk about peace. We talked about peace last week, and I want to talk about peace again this week. Again, just to recap, peace, it's not a plan, it's not an idea, but it is a person. And it is found in Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. He's our wonderful Counselor, our mighty God. He's the Savior of all mankind. And this is something that we need to really get inside of our hearts, that it's not an idea, it's not a concept. It's Jesus. I can say that this morning, but how do you make it through difficult times when there seems to be no peace in your life? Has anybody been there besides myself? Especially, this is where it's difficult for me, is when I'm a Christian. Not only am I a Christian, I do the work. I go to church. I read my Bible. I pray. I try to do good. I want to believe that I can have peace and experience it, but it doesn't seem to happen sometimes. Seems like there's sometimes way more chaos in life and in the world around me than what I say there should be or what God says there should be. All that to say this, there's a difference between, again, the idea of peace and the person of peace, who is Jesus. So what about when you are not experiencing the peace of God? We just sang Silent Night, probably one of, if not the most, probably is the most requested and popular Christmas song of all times is Silent Night, Holy Night. And all is calm, all is bright. Wouldn't that be a wonderful life? Where all is calm all the time. Sleep in heavenly peace. Some people would pay a lot of money, or have paid a lot of money to sleep in heavenly peace. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay. Believe it or not, though, on that night when Jesus was brought into this world, all was not calm. There was chaos going on in the world. We may see this picturesque image of Jesus in a manger and Mary and Joseph and this wonderful light shining down and just the really nice little calm donkey and the sheep and just all that manger scene. But I don't know about you, but that doesn't seem like peace on the night of a birth. At least my kids weren't that way. Were yours? All I remember when Avery was born was 3 a.m. these nurses in Alabama talking about Alabama football so loud that I had to say, "Would you please be quiet? Come on." When Claire was born, we couldn't get out of the hospital fast enough. We were like, "Get us out of here so we can find some peace in our own home." Seriously. Oh. When Jesus was born, Bethlehem was in chaos. People were all over the place, so crazy. There was what? No room. There was no place to be. Why can we say, why can we sing, sleep in heavenly peace? All is calm, all is bright. It wasn't necessarily because of the situation, but it was who was over and around the situation that this peace was in place. So here's what we know. There was something about that night, that moment, when a baby, Jesus, was born into this world, that it established peace between mankind, humanity, and God. You see, ultimately that night, the process started where the whole world could be brought back and put back together into what we talked about last week, this place of shalom. Which when we talk about peace, it just doesn't mean, all goes well, but that there's this flourishing. That there's a betterment of life as God intended it to be for us. So with that, let's read John chapter 14, verses 25 through 27, which says, we're going to read a couple of verses before. It says, "I am telling you these things now while I am still with you." This is Jesus speaking. But when my Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. Here's the key. I am leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Jesus is saying, this is my peace. I'm giving you me for Christmas. Let me just tell you this. Whatever the world is telling you today that will make things feel better, they will say it'll all work out, is not what Jesus gives. It is not his peace. I mean, throughout his ministry on earth, he talked about peace. He talked about reconciling humanity to the Father. And even after the resurrection, you have the disciples scared in a room, hiding together, and Jesus shows up. And in John chapter 20, here's what he says. It says, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them, and what does he say? The first words out of his mouth. I'm back! No. Told you so, I'd raise from the grave. Oh, I love you guys so much. No, he said, peace be with you. I had what this word was in the Greek, but it means the same as shalom. It means wholeness or bringing together. That's what he spoke. This is why he came. He could have said anything else, but he said, peace be with you. Understand, it's actually great what Jody shared, how God is relevant today. He's not outdated in any way, shape, or form, because that's kind of what goes along with what I'm talking about today, is this. Jesus is alive. He continues to be shalom, that flourishing peace in our lives, the same way he was at the very beginning, the same way he was in Bethlehem, the same way he was here after the resurrection with his disciples. He has been peace forever, and he always will continue to be that in our lives. You can have that today. Question though, if this is the work of Jesus, he wants to give us peace, why are so many people living without peace? And how do we get it, if it's even possible? Because again, like I said, I think I'm a pretty good Christian. I do the work. Some of you can do the same thing, and there's been times where I've thought, man, where is the peace in my life? Why can I see it in other people and not in me? Why? What's different about in my life? All that to this. At some point today, if you're asking that question, if you're lacking peace, you're going to have to take some steps from going from just being a hearer of God's word to being a doer of his word. And putting into steps of faith, practice towards the person of peace who is Jesus. There might be some things you have to take away out of your lives, and there might be some things you need to add into your life to be in this place of peace with the person of peace who is Jesus. So why is peace missing in many of our lives today? Number one in your notes is this. We have instant access to anti-shalom. We talked about this last week. And on Wednesday night, the things that are not just fighting against peace, but trying to replace peace. How many of you have one of these? This is the modern curse of humanity, the cell phone. We have access to everything instantly that is not good for our lives. The world is literally, sin is pumping anti-shalom into the world and into our lives. Day and night, we have instant access to it. TV, bad news, bad reports, deadlines, emails, text messages, all these things pressuring us all the time, saying, get it done yesterday. Why aren't you picking up your phone? I can see you're right there. My wife and I, we have this, because she gets called in all the time at night for work, and so we have like these trackers on our phones. And so, I can't get away with anything. Why are you at Nacho's? You know we have food at the house. What are you going to town for, Brian? Where are you at Sunburst again? You better not be buying a gun. No, I can't get away with anything. This will be a point further down about how the world's getting smaller, but still, instant access to everything all the time. We have this. Second is this. We are left to compare our situations with the very best of other people's situations around us. I mean, I like looking through Facebook. I scroll through all the time, especially during Christmas. You can see everybody's Christmas pictures, or we get all the cards in the mail. You know, you see the best of everybody's pictures. And my wife posted some of us. Actually, this was this year's Christmas tree picture, like where we go and cut down our Christmas tree. You know, she'll post them on there. It'll be me and the girls, and then carrying the tree out. What you don't see on that is Claire didn't wear her rubber boots. They were her nicest boots. And they were mud up to her knees. And then when she fell after that picture and face planted and got mud all over here, I'm like, you didn't realize the tree that my wife wanted was at the very bottom of the hill. I had to carry that thing back. Good thing you couldn't see my face. That all you saw was tree and my shoulders carrying a tree up. None of that was picturesque. It wasn't this great family. It was a great family outing, but you could look at something and somebody else says, oh, they're having so much fun and doing this, all these great things. We don't know. You're seeing the very best filtered picture through filtered picture of Facebook of my life or your life and saying, why can't my life be like that? We have these pressures of comparison with other people around us. Third is this, because the world is getting smaller. I love the small town. Growing up, people always said, I remember as a kid, well, you can't get away with anything in a small town because everybody knows your business. Well, I'll tell you what, the world is a small town now because of this. Right. Not only does everybody know your business, they have information about your business and how you should be doing your business. And should be doing better. Everybody has a comment. Those who know you and those who don't know you, I think because you posted something, they have the right to say their two bits. All of this contributes to why we have a lack of peace in our lives. You can literally be evaluated by any person at any time from anyone around the world, it seems like. Fourth is this. Again, these are reasons why we are missing peace in our lives today. There is no off button to this world that seems to be getting smaller by the minute. I was trying to think back to, again, sleep in heavenly peace. Now, probably nobody under the age of 35 is going to remember this. I'm 40, so I can say I can remember this. Now, let's see. So Gary and Kevin, you guys probably remember this too. I'm trying to see anybody else that's close to our age. Dennis, Jody, you guys remember this, I'm sure. Dan does too. Do you remember when you'd stay up late at night thinking, I'm going to watch some television? And it's about midnight, and all you see is black and white. There was a time, Kyler, where you could turn on the TV at 3 a.m., and there was nothing off the air. TV turned off. Do we remember that? Older people, you remember that? You probably remember that with the radio. Did that happen with the radio too? I don't know. Did it? Yes, the radio used to turn off. There were times in this world not too long ago where the world turned off. And there was peace. We don't live in that time anymore. You know what? Maybe there wasn't a whole lot of peace back then either. But at least there wasn't the constant reminder of all that is going on all the time in our lives. The hustle, the bustle, the things we have to get in tomorrow. But here's the thing. In spite of all of that, in spite of all the craziness that was then and that is now and seems to never stop now, God still speaks. And he tries to speak peace into our lives. He tries to calm the storm that we can actually go to bed at night and sleep. Amen. I think you can sleep in heavenly peace. I really think we can do this. God has always spoken into chaos. God spoke into chaos at the very beginning of creation. In Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It says, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. That word formless and empty in the Hebrew means chaotic. It was voided. It was actual, complete chaos. And when God spoke, verse 3, Let there be light, and there was light. He brought order into chaos. Peace where there was no peace. From the very beginning to this day right now, yes, God is relevant. He is not outdated. He's not the past. Amen. He wants peace in our lives. Today, especially today, God is relevant. Amen. So regardless of your circumstance, understand this. God never stops speaking. He never stops his message. He has never stopped what he intended from the very beginning, that we would have a flourishing life. Shalom. Peace. Here's another good thing. It seems like as our world continues on, the church, we talked about this on Wednesday night, about some things that have changed in the church that are not good. Things that have changed in our lives. Like, well, we're just so busy now. I don't know if I have time for that. Well, times have changed. You want to know what hasn't changed? God's expectations. Think about that for a moment. God doesn't say, well, I understand, I know, you, I can't get off Facebook either. I get ready to read my Bible, I have to start scrolling through. I have to go straight to Craigslist because there might be a deal out there that I have to get right now. I like that Facebook buy and sell thing. There's all kinds of stuff I don't ever need or want, but I hit that button, and I can scroll through stuff for sale for 15 minutes. And God's like, oh, I get that, Brian, I understand completely. I'll lower my expectations for you. He doesn't do that. God still has the same expectations from the beginning as he does now. And God's expectation and desire is peace for our lives. But if we lower our own expectations and make our own excuses, we're not going to be living in what God has for us in that. So God is still speaking to us today. Now, here's where I want to focus the remainder of our time on. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. It's the whole passage. You've probably heard this many times if you didn't even know where it was at. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication, bring all things to God with thanksgiving. That's the King James version of that. But I want to read the whole passage. This is in the New Living Translation. And then I have some parts later on that I want to focus specifically on in the King James because I like the way it reads better. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then, then you'll experience what? God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. This peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Amen. This is an offer from God that is open to anybody and everybody who has ever drawn breath. Yes. Peace. I mean, think about this. The possibility to be anxious for nothing. Nothing. God offers a peace that is bigger than people can understand. Another verse says, it's a peace which surpasses all understanding. It protects our hearts. But it doesn't just protect our hearts, it also guides our minds. Where we think, how we think, where they go. All of this is through peace. I've been studying the mind for the last 2 years, and what I found out is people don't have peace. I mean, if think of this, if our hearts are guided and our thoughts are if our thoughts are protected, I'm sorry, our hearts are protected and our thoughts are guided by God. That's the answer everyone's looking for that I can see. Think of this. It's not a subtle peace. It's a powerful peace. Like a soldier standing guard over your heart, your feelings, your mind. That's the peace of God. It's not, It's the angels, the army of angels that surrounded that manger, that said, nothing can get in here to touch this child. You're secure tonight, Mary and Joseph. Jesus, you have nothing to worry about because nothing can touch you. Amen. Sleep in peace. Yep. That's what we're supposed to have in our minds, in our hearts. And no one else can do this for you. So, how do you do it? How do you have this peace? Dropping down your notes. Number one, recalibrate your image of Jesus. I didn't say change, but adjust it. Sometimes we need to readjust it. I find myself all the time, and it's because of this world we live in, to where my thoughts and my heart seems to downgrade or get off kilter a little bit. I find myself having to readjust my focus on Christ continually in my life. Because the fears, the trials, the hardships, all these things can knock me off course so easily. And so I have to readjust. Paul said that he died daily. And what he meant by that was, every day I have to say no to myself and get my focus back on Jesus because it keeps on knocking me off. And so if we want to have this peace in our lives, if we want to be no longer hearers of the word, but doers of the word, we have to know who we're looking at and that we're looking in the right way. So recalibrate your image of Jesus. Again, peace is not an idea. It's not a place. It's not your happy place. It's your happy person. It's Jesus. Philippians 4:7. Again, I'm just going to read the second part of that verse. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You see, if peace is happening in Jesus, then we need to rethink our understanding of who Jesus is and who he is in our lives. Now, throw my picture up there, Michael. Does anybody remember doing those in Sunday school? I remember being about 6 years old the first time that we had this active craft. I wanted to make it myself and have it, but it just didn't work. But I remember, again, Jesus walking on water. This is probably, throughout my entire life, if there's one story in the Bible that I have tried to experience, it's walking on water. I still try it to this day. I can do this, and I sink every time, but I'm fascinated with Jesus walking on water and that Peter walked on water as well. And I remember when I heard this story, and when the Sunday school teacher, Linda Strong was her name, Jean and Linda Strong, and Linda got the things out, and we colored them all up, and when we put that stick thingy underneath Jesus and put the slit in the paper, it's like, I'm walking on water. I loved that thing. And that's the first image I can really just see in my mind of thinking about Jesus. And this one-dimensional little craft paper on a tongue depressor stick walking on water. Now, the next picture, flip the next one. This is not the one I wanted, but it's close. In the church where I grew up in Nacelle, there was a room where the ushers, the deacons would meet before church, and they decide how they were going to, collect the offering and count it and stuff like that. And it seemed like every main church office had this picture of Jesus walking on water, but it wasn't this one. It was a lot more solemn, and his face was longer, and I wish I could find it. Somebody here has to have it. Lorena, you probably have a picture of this somewhere, or somebody does. And it's where Jesus is walking on water, and it's more dark and blue, and dark blue and purple, and he's just walking on water, and he's just, it's an awesome picture. In fact, my cousin Jamie has this picture, because my grandma had it as well, and so she has it. But it was in every single church, probably. You've probably seen pictures like this in offices of churches of that's Jesus. Not that that's a bad thing, but some people never get beyond Jesus on a thumb depressor stick image of him. Others see him in a picture. He's over there, but understand, he's not a picture. He's not this caricature. He's not just a figure in history. He's alive. Amen. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. All that was and is created in him, and he is the one who brings peace into our lives. Amen. I thought that was pretty good. Yes. He's not one-dimensional Jesus. He is not historical Jesus. He is not caricature Jesus. whatever your situation right now, whatever situation that came to you that you didn't see happening or you don't see coming, Jesus wants to speak peace into those things. Yes, I believe in Jesus, but I have zero peace what's happening right now in my life. Why are they having peace and I'm not? I'm a Christian too. Recalibrate your image of Christ. God has to somehow open our eyes to see Jesus as he really is. Not was, as he is. Full color. 8K whatever, HD, 3D, something. Right here. As real as the person next to you. This Jesus knows my thoughts. But at the same time, he's already way ahead of my thoughts. Looking into my future. Sees the things that are coming my way, and he's already prepared me to go through those things if I trust him. That's why we can hold on to verses like Romans 8:28. For we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to them or according to his purpose for them. I can hold on to that and stand in peace because he not only knows my thoughts, he knows what's coming my way, and he's already prepared a way for that situation for me. You see, far too many, Jesus is great as long as he's just the Jesus they're reading in their Bible or singing about here in church. But what about the Jesus who you will have with you outside these walls? Where is the Prince of Peace on our chaotic nights? I would say he's with us. He's mighty, he's powerful, personable, present. And the perfect one to bring peace into and over anything that is in our lives. There's nobody who is greater than him. You see, when we say that there is a peace that guards our hearts and our minds, we need to remember that nobody and no thing has ever been like Jesus who can do this for us. He guards your heart. He is over and running history. Because he conquered the grave, he conquered sin, and he has a plan for you. And his standard, his plan, is shalom. Yes. So, if you're not experiencing peace in this chaotic, what can be chaotic season rather than Christmas season, readjust your thoughts. Recalibrate your vision of who Jesus is. Number two is this: release your concerns to him. This is important when I ask the question, what's your concept, or what concept do you have of peace and who Jesus is? Or in your minds, what do you see when you see Jesus? Or how real is he really to you? It's important that you answer those questions because you're not going to release your concerns to somebody who is just one-dimensional Jesus. You may say you are, but you're going to realize, no, I really have to carry these myself. Yeah, the Christian churchy thing to say is, yeah, cast your burdens on Jesus, but when I walk out those doors, they're still there. It can be that way if you don't have the right vision of Jesus. So ask yourself that honestly. What concept do you have of peace and the person who is Jesus, the Prince of Peace? Is he as real to you as the person standing or sitting right next to you? He should be. He is. You see, until this is our reality, all we have is an image of Jesus. The one-dimensional Jesus. Which you may have a thought of peace for a moment, but you won't be in a position of peace from that. See, when we know and see Jesus as real, as the person sitting next to us, we will release our concerns to him. Our cares, our anxieties. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I like that if you have a King James Bible, this is the New King James, But it says, be anxious for no thing, but in everything. There is no thing out there that you need to worry about. But in everything, bring it before God. But we won't do this until we see Him as trustworthy. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. Amen. You know, this passage in Philippians and this passage in 1 Peter, it says, be anxious for nothing, put your cares on Jesus. They're the exact same word in the Greek. It means marina, M-A-R-I-N-A. It means to pull apart. That's what these cares do. Cares, worries, anxiety, they pull you apart. They pull your peace apart. They pull your heart apart. They pull your mind apart. They pull how you think apart. But what God wants to do is He wants to take those things that pull you apart and give you wholeness, flourishing of peace. Whatever is pulling you apart, whatever is pulling your peace apart, cast that onto the person of God who brings all peace to your life by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. It's interesting, Paul's not just trying to just use the same word multiple times. He's talking about prayer as far as general prayer in our life. Supplication or petitions means specific issues or instances or concerns in your life. The big things, the little things, and then all those things, thanking God, saying, Lord, You have it all under control. And so because I place my cares upon You, I'm thankful. Take them all to the highest authority anywhere, which is Jesus, and rest those before His feet. I don't know about you, but I struggle with this. It can come to a place where, rather than worry, have you said this? Rather than worry about it, I'm just not going to think about it. I'm just going to put it aside and keep going with my day. I'm going to focus on what I can take care of, and I'll deal with that later. But it's still there. It's not dealt with. And then it leeches its little head up again and says, anti-peace, anti-peace. And it comes back at you time and time and time again. God didn't want us to live that way. Because what do you do when you go to bed and you don't have the TV on and you try to sleep? That which you didn't deal with comes back in the night. And you don't have sleep in heavenly peace. I don't know who I was talking to. Oh, it was Wednesday night we were talking about this, I think. There's some people who can't even sleep without the TV going on all the time. All these things we have to do just to make noise and chaos in our lives. Really, noise. Because we can't even handle being quiet and peace. We have to constantly stay distracted because we don't deal with the things that are right before us. You can't push it off for later. Say I can handle it myself. God doesn't get it. No, He does. Cast your burdens upon Him. Those things tearing you apart. You say we're supposed to bring it before God, the King of all things, who we've been talking about this in Hebrews, who we have access through instantaneously through the Son. We can come boldly before His throne and lay these things before Him. Say, God, they're Yours. And He'll say, fine, I'll take them, and I'll give you peace. I was trying to think of just, that's relevant, but a real life situation myself. Two words, customer support. Yeah. It seems like all the time there's things I have to call customer support for. They don't support, they're anti-support. They're worthless, incompetent. They don't speak English. And if they do, I don't know what they're saying because either the connection's bad or their accent's wrong, and I don't know what's going on. But all I know is rather than support, I get frustration. It should be customer frustration. Customer, I don't care what you say. Customer, I want to talk to your supervisor now. Right? Have you ever said that? Why do we say that? Because we want to talk to somebody who can actually get things done for us. That's Jesus. Yes. Right on. Somebody's calling customer support right now. If you want things done, call the manager. Go to the one who will actually do it for you, Jesus. God gives us direct access to Him as His sons and daughters through His Son. This is what we have because of Christmas. He's at the top. And as His sons and daughters, we can make our requests known to Him. We can lay our cares and burdens down before Him. They're not going to go to Peter at the pearly gates. Paul's not going to write us an epistle. It's not the angels. We go straight to God. Amen. And we say, Abba, Father, Dad, help me with this. Amen. He's the one on the throne who made peace for us through His Son. He loves you. He cares about you more than anyone or anything else that is around you. And He sees the situations you go through. He sees the chaos that is trying to tear you apart. He's God. I read this statement this week, and I'm still trying to wrap my mind around it. And let's see if you guys can as well. It was this. It says, if we believed God is who He is, or who He says He is, then we would ask for what He wants to give us. That's a deep statement. I mean, if we believed God is who He says He is, then we would ask for what He wants to give us. He's Almighty God, our Heavenly Father. Jesus, who is the Son of God, God the Son, is the Alpha, the Omega, the Creator of all things. If we believe that God loves us so much that nothing can separate us from Him, from His love, what should we be asking for? What is it that He wants to give us? It's peace. Christmas, it's not about a moment in a manger where there was silence and peace. It was that moment where God the Son came into this world bringing salvation and restoring peace between us, He the Father, and the Holy Spirit. If we knew what God knows about everything, we would ask for what God wants for us. Not for more money or prosperity or favor, but God, just Your will in the situation. Not necessarily, God, get me out of here, get me out of this, but God, get me through this. God, You will get me through this. Yes. Then thanking Him for that. The phrase, letting go and letting God, it doesn't mean that we no longer care about what's happening to us or around us or to those we care about, but we're laying our cares before Him. Yes. That's letting go and letting God. It's not just putting it on the back burner, saying, God, I care about this. And God, I know You care about this. And so You have my cares. I'm releasing my cares to God. And I entrust all these things to Him, which comes to the third point. If we're going to have peace, then we need to replace what we've released. If we're releasing our cares to Him, then there needs to be something that can fill that void, or something put in place of that. We get that in Philippians 4:8. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So now is not only about not worrying anymore, but changing my focus. You see, I don't know about you, but for me, I stop worrying about something when I stop thinking about something. But something has to be up in there. Although we as men, we do have nothing boxes. We can think about nothing. But nothing is something for us. But with that, if I'm going to stop thinking about a bill or something I have to have done or a sick family at home or these things, something else has to fill that place in my mind. I stop worrying when I start thinking about something else. And we need to have consistent ways of putting the good things of God in our lives. You need to have a plan. We need to literally have a plan for tomorrow's cares. Because there are things tomorrow morning when you wake up and go to work or start your day, there are things that want to tear you apart. That's, again, that cares and worries merriman. Things that will tear you apart. So what's your plan to deal with tomorrow's cares? What are you going to replace with what you've released? I don't know about you, but for me, I read my Bible. I get the promises of God into my heart. I wake up saying, good morning, Father. And I pray and say, Lord, you know what's coming up, so right now prepare my way before me. I pray with my girls coming down the hill, and as soon as they're done, I go and run my dog around the dam. I turn on the worship music, and I start worshiping God. I fill my life with the things of God so that when those cares come and I lay them before Him, I actually have something else in my reserves to take their place. You have to replace what you release with things of God. I have a replacement plan in place, ready to go when I release my cares. And in doing that, I live in peace. I go to bed in peace. I wake up in peace. Because when the cares come, I put them off and I replace with something else. And I thank God. Yes. I'm releasing and replacing my cares. I'm releasing my cares and replacing them with God's confidence. God, you said this. Psalm 127, we're wrapping up here right now. Psalm 127, 1 and 2, it says, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do you no good. It is useless for you to work so hard from early in the morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat. For God gives rest to His loved ones. You can watch, you can guard, you can try to do a good job, all of these things, but if you don't have the Prince of Peace in your life, if God's not the center of it, if He's not guarding and protecting your heart and your mind, it's for nothing. You see, it's through the knowledge and understanding that God guards your heart and your mind. He guards your house. He guards your family. He guards your relationships. He guards your kids as they go off to school. I'll tell you what, when Avery went into kindergarten, that was horrible for me. Claire too. But holding on to, Lord, you are guarding my kids. I'm not entrusting them into the care of Mossy Rock School District. Lord, I am entrusting my kids to your care.
That's right.
You have my kids in your hand. And that gives me peace. Knowing that, it gives us peace. He's God over all things and He is good. So again, silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright. You're hearing the monotone pastor try to sing one note. That imagery of that night, it wasn't the situation, it was the one who is over the situation. Is why that could be sung. I just think of angels everywhere saying, you will not get past us. This place, this moment right now, as peace is coming into the earth, is protected. Hearts and minds are protected with peace. This is what God has for our lives. So in the chaos, or what seems like the things that want to tear apart your Christmas season, give those to God. Replace them with His word, with worship, with church family, and just keep walking. And you'll walk in peace. You'll look back and say, man, Christmas was good this year. Not one thing went wrong.
Hallelujah.
Maybe it did, but you gave it to God. You let go, you let God. So let's pray. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for your peace. I ask that right now, Lord, supernaturally right now, that you would enable us, give us the grace to not just be hearers of your word, but Father, doers of your word. Father, for those that need to readjust their idea, their image of Jesus, Lord, give that grace right now, I ask in Jesus' name. Father, for those who need to release cares, real legitimate burdens right now, things that they feel like they're tearing them apart from the inside out, God, right now, supernaturally, by your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit, Help us to give them to you. Cast our burdens before you because you care. And Father, then give us the wisdom and the discipline to carry out the plan for peace, to replace that which has been released. Lord, go before us right now as we leave this place. Go before us this week to our jobs and our different things that we do throughout our week and our lives. Father, let your hedge of protection be around us, that we could sing that song, Silent Night, Holy Night, All's Calm, because we're surrounded by you and guarded by you. We love you. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for your plan for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.